G'day, my name's Peter, or Peter64. Some people might know me from the Colonel Panic Ogcast. Now, a few episodes ago, or actually it was episode 1344, Kenny's son made a video of dinosaur egg hatching. And at the start of the video, you could see that there was a lot of flicker or strobing effect. Now, Ken managed to control this by closing the curtains and adding his own ambient light. Now, that's all well and good if you're making a video inside, but if you're outside, then you obviously can't control that. Now, hopefully in this episode, we'll discuss the problem of flicker or strobing in time-lapse videos. Firstly, how you can prevent it with the correct settings in your camera. And secondly, if you do happen to get some, use a deflicker script that was written, I think, in Perl that I found on the internet. But anyway, let's first have a look at time-lapse and the initial setup and some of the equipment that you're going to need. Well, you probably can do time-lapse video with a compact camera. You're going to need one that can take an image at, you know, every 15 or 20 seconds at some predetermined interval. I'm mainly going to concentrate on digital SLRs. First of all, you're going to need a tripod because this, typically you're going to be taking images over an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours. So it could even be a whole day. Now, secondly, you're going to need an interferometer, which sounds like a pretty impressive piece of kit, but virtually all it does is automatically pushes the button, the shutter button for you every 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds, depending on how, you know, what you set it up for. I tend to shoot an image every 5 seconds. That's going to give you, you know, 24 frames every 2 minutes. So virtually 1 second of your video represents 2 minutes of the real world. This is something that you need to play around with and experiment, and it would depend a lot on your subject matter. Okay, so now I've got the camera set up on a nice sturdy tripod. We're taking an image. Well, we haven't actually hit the shutter button yet to start taking the image, because what we've got to look at is setting the camera up to help prevent this time-lapse flicker. Now, what we're going to do is take the camera out of automatic mode and put it in manual mode. Now, you want to set your shutter speed. Now, typically 1/100th of a second or less. If you're taking video of, like, a cityscape and something where you have people in it, one of the effects that you'll notice often when you do look at time-lapse video with people in it is the buildings and that are nice and crisp, but the people are slightly blurred. And this is actually a pretty good effect. And this can be achieved by even having a slower shutter speed. Maybe, I don't know, 1/30th of a second, perhaps. 1/8th even. As long as you're sitting on a nice solid tripod, your buildings and fixed structures are going to be still very clear, but any cars or anything with motion are going to have that blurring effect, and it can be quite a pleasing effect to put into your video. But once again, what you've got to do is experiment with it. We have to look at aperture. You want to close your aperture down a bit, because otherwise you don't want a too shallow depth of field, but once again, that's something you need to play with. Get your white balance right. And
these rules aren't set in concrete, because as we know, it's a juggling act between aperture, shutter speed, and of course the ISO, depending on the available light. But I would recommend that the first thing you do is set the correct aperture, then look at shutter speed, and then of course last resort then just change your ISO. And I know I've said this plenty of times, and I'll say it again, it's an experiment. Experiment and just see what's going to work on the day.
The other important thing is manual focus, because you don't want to set it on automatic focus and then someone walks through your shot or whatever, and then the camera focuses close and then it focuses far away. That's not something you're looking for. The important thing here is put everything in manual mode. One problem you will run into is if you're going to try to shoot a sunrise. Now, obviously, you can't leave your camera in manual mode because it'll start off that you'll set it up for, you know, where it's dark early in the dawn. And then as the sun starts to come up, it starts to get brighter. Images are going to be way, just overexposed and get blown out the buggery. And after a while, you won't even be able to see anything but just a big white haze in your photo. So what you have to do then is probably set it up in aperture priority and let your camera select the best shutter speed so you get the correct exposure. Now, the other thing too, that I don't shoot in RAW. When I do shoot in JPEG, I don't even shoot in my highest JPEG quality, because what we're going to do is convert the images down to the 1080 by 1920 or HD resolution to, you know, because you don't want any better than that. There's no point, because you'd be showing these, you know, typically on a telly, or if you're uploading them to YouTube or whatever, you don't even have that sort of quality. So you're not messing around with, you know, 8 meg files. There's really no need to shoot in RAW unless you really want to sit down and go through them and make some really minor tweaks. And then, of course, you're going to have to do a batch conversion on literally thousands and thousands of photos. One particular instance I did shoot in RAW was when I was shooting the Milky Way in Crux, or the Southern Cross as it passed overhead. Now, because obviously this is shot late at night with nothing but starlight, that I shot it in RAW and then did some enhancement and used, I think it was Youth RAW and the batch conversion to make some changes to the gamma and brightness and saturation, etc. So have a look at your subject and the style of time-lapse you're after, and, you know, once again, I suppose, just experiment with it. Okay, so we finally got our camera set up, and depending on what you're taking a picture, it's probably time now to use your intervalometer and start your timer, and off it goes, and leave it for what could be an hour, 3 hours, or even, you know, I've taken literally thousands of pictures all day when I've been doing some construction work, like putting the pool in and building a deck around it, and that's something I wanted to document. But depending on what you do, one thing for certain, you're going to return your camera, turn it off, look at your counter, and see you have literally taken hundreds to thousands of pictures. Now, the next thing is, what are you going to do with them all? Well, I'm glad you asked. Now, firstly, you're going to obviously copy them over to your computer, laptop, whatever, running Linux. Now, if you run on Windows, I'm afraid I can't help you. Now, after you've copied all the images over to a folder on your computer, first of all, you're going to make a directory called Resize. Then we're going to use Mogrify, which is part of the Image Magic packages, to resize them down to 1920 by 1080, or you might want to make a, you know, 720p film or whatever, but in my particular case, I make them all HD resolution. Now, rather than sit here and rattle off a bunch of commands, I'll put it in the show notes how eventually we'll use either Mencoder or FFmpeg to finally render our video. But okay, so now that we've resized and we've Mogrify, and hopefully this next step, because we took the time to set up our camera, that we hopefully didn't get any flicker, but if we did, I found this script, and I know I'm going to butcher this bloke's name, but it was by a Vangelis Tassoulis, and I'm sorry, Vangelis, if you're listening, but he wrote this script, and like I said, I'm pretty sure it's Perl. If you have a look in the show notes, we'll put a link to it. I'll either put it up on the Kernel Panic server, or Ken might put it somewhere on the HPR server, because I've tried to find it again and I can't. And I can't recall where I originally got it, but anyway, it'll be there in the show notes, a link to it, and it's called Timelapse the Flickr PL. All we have to do now is use Mencoder or FFmpeg or any other your favorite applications that you like to convert a bunch of images into a video. I've mentioned a few of the things I've used time-lapse for, and I'll also link a couple of them in the show notes, or if you just do a quick search for Peter64 Linux, or one word, time-lapse, you'll find quite a few on my YouTube channel. Okay, so hopefully this has made a couple of you keen to get out, try your hand at time-lapse video. Thanks for taking the time to listen to me. This has been Peter64 for Hacker Public Radio, and I'll talk to you next time.
G'day, my name's Jude, or better known as Mrs. 64. Hacker Public Radio needs your help. They're running out of shows. If you ever thought you'd like to contribute or do a podcast yourself, here's your chance. If you think you're going to sound silly or not going to sound like you know what you're doing, think again, because it never seems to stop my husband. It's easy, and if you live in the USA or the UK, it's as simple as picking up the telephone and phoning the call-in number to record a show, or plugging in a mic and opening Audacity. Get over to hackerpublicradio.org/contribute.php.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.